Good morning and welcome to worship on this All Saints Sunday. Special welcome to those who are worshiping with us from home. We're glad that you're joining us. Just a few announcements as we prepare for worship today. It's a little bit different service because of the remembrance of our saints who have gone before us in faith. And so you'll notice on the altar we have 19 candles representing those who have died since last All Saints Day from Central Lutheran Church. So we'll be naming those during the prayers and hearing the tolling of the bells. And as we do, each candle will be lit in honor and memory of that loved one. But at the conclusion of that, and as we prepare our hearts for communion, we'll invite you to come forward today and light candles in the baptismal font that's filled with sand and tea candles, and we'll invite you to take one of the lit candles that'll be in the tapers on either side of the baptismal font. If you'd like to remember and pause to acknowledge one of the loved ones in your lives that has died, not even just in the last year, but for all times. So encourage you to do that, but I'm just going to remind you that the easiest way and the best way for safety reasons is to start in the middle and work our way out to the outer ring. So please remember, start in the middle and just keep that circle going, if you will. With those announcements, and just to remind you that on the back page there are links for Cairo next weekend, starting on Friday evening with a lecture, you're also invited to attend in person. So please make note of those announcements. And let us stand now as we join together in singing for all the saints. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and to know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your ears and your hearts to hear the Word of God.
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, the 25th chapter. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading this morning is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite all who are able to stand for the reading of the gospel. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Jesus said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind men have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to Jesus, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When Jesus had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. First Martha had said it, then Mary. But their brother had died. He had been dead in the tomb for 4 days. The sisters of Lazarus were grieving. Surely their eyes must have been swollen and red, tears streaking their cheeks, for they were understandably in mourning, perhaps even distraught and filled with regret as they wondered where their beloved teacher and friend had been when they needed him. Why hadn't Jesus come when they first called for him? Maybe that was what was behind those words of theirs, faith-filled yet accusatory. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Some scholars suggest what happened next shows the very humanity of Jesus, that hearing their words, seeing their raw emotion, feeling their pain must have cut straight to the heart of Jesus. Deeply moved, overcome with compassion, Jesus began to weep. The grief that comes whenever a loved one dies has a way of moving even the most stoic among us to tears. In fact, often the atrocities we hear, see, or read about in the news on a daily basis, where humans inflict unspeakable acts of violence upon other human beings, or where tragic events or circumstances cause great harm and suffering, we too are often moved to tears. Even when we don't know any of the victims personally, but how much more so when we do. Having empathy and compassion is definitely part of what it is to be truly human. Yet, as the gospel writer and our faith teaches, this not only shows the humanity of Jesus, it also shows us his divinity. I would argue that this display of emotion, of what some might say is quote-unquote truly human, is first and foremost a God thing. Our faith teaches us that the very nature and heart of God is demonstrated most profoundly through an incarnational and relational God who becomes human in order to redeem and reconcile the whole cosmos by suffering and dying on a cross. Therefore, surely our God knows what it is to have compassion, to suffer with us and for us, and to be moved to tears, the kind of tears that come from experiencing loss and grief. And let's face it, we've all known our share of loss and grief. In fact, in spite of all of the loved ones that I've personally buried in my own life, my family members, friends, and all of the funerals, memorial services, and committal services that I've officiated at for the beloved saints who have gone before us, in spite of all of that over the years, I have to say that in light of this worldwide pandemic of these past 20 months and counting, we've been introduced to previously unimagined grief and loss, and it's touched each and every one of us. It all began during the season of Lent in mid-March in the year of our Lord 2020, And now here we are nearing another church year, starting in Advent, but nearing the end of another calendar year. When we flip the page of the calendar and it brings out 2022 has arrived. I recall during the early days of the pandemic, when we were first being discouraged from having human contact with anyone beyond those with whom we shared the same household, virtually isolating ourselves and cutting ourselves off one from another, and having to rely on technology to bring us together virtually, I was praying mightily for a quick return to quote-unquote normal. I even tried to keep my spirits up by wishfully thinking, good grief, surely this can't last very long. But even before the season of Lent ended and Holy Week came in 2020, and it went by without our usual traditions of Holy Week, of Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil, and the glorious festival of Easter where this church is packed with people, I decided then and there that I would disregard a few of the rubrics and liturgical practices, the do's and the don'ts of Lutheran liturgy, all the things I had been taught in seminary about leading worship and recognizing the liturgical calendar. Instead, I confess, I unilaterally decided to keep the Paschal candle lit. You see, traditionally, each year on the eve of Easter, we dedicate a new Paschal candle, and we remember the Lord's Passover from death to life. It's on the eve of Easter, at the Easter Vigil. And then we light that candle on Easter and throughout the season of Easter, those 50 days, to show the presence of the risen Christ among God's people. It's also then lit at all baptisms and funerals as a sign of dying and rising with Christ, of our death and Christ's life. However, during this unprecedented global pandemic, as your pastor, I felt like I needed to let that candle burn. I had memories of being at events in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where they celebrate Zozobra, and they build a 40-foot puppet that, you know, moves up and down and groans, and the people yell, "Burn it, burn it." I had those visions in my head. And so that's exactly what we did. We burned it. We burned it over and over and over again. Let this candle burn, I thought. Let it burn. It's not going to get dedicated anytime soon. Maybe next Easter Vigil, but not now. And so we burned it. Sunday after Sunday, we burned it. And as you can see, we've got one at the altar that is a brand new one that we will dedicate later this morning. And you can see the difference in the size of it. We burn this candle down again and again at every baptism, at every funeral, at every committal service, at every memorial service, and every Sunday for much of the pandemic. I needed to burn this candle not only for myself but for all of you to demonstrate that God is truly present with us, that God weeps with us, and that there is nothing, not one single thing that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not even a pandemic. Not even when we're separated one from another week after week. But now, as not one but two Easter vigils have passed, as these months have dragged on and on with mandates at times relaxed and then tightened again, and as this virus has continued to wreak havoc on our lives and our livelihood and on us as a community of faith, I must confess that my once wishful thinking, surely this day will soon be over, often turned to lament. Prayers more along the lines of, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had been here, this virus wouldn't still be keeping this community apart from one another. It wouldn't be keeping us from being together under one roof as the people of God. But then, to my amazement, every single time I went down that road of lamenting, there'd be a sign as big as a 767 Boeing jet. A sign to show me that God is truly present, that God does dwell with us, that God is here, and that we are together united as the body of Christ. That we are members one of another, members of Christ's body. That we are the living saints. And by the grace of God, we are living into a new day. A new beginning, a new creation, a new normal. And so once again, I'm compelled to stand before you and remind you from this pulpit that as people of God, we need to be reminded that God's promises are true. That God is in fact with us. That God comes to us in water and the word, in bread and wine, in the communion of saints, the beloved saints we've lost this past year, that we will soon remember with the tolling of the bells and a lighting of a candle. Those saints of all times and all places, and the living, breathing saints that live among us in this pilgrimage on earth, journeying beside us, and the beloved saints as yet unborn. Together, we are surrounded by this whole host of heaven, the communion of saints, the body of Christ. God is among us, and we are God's people. Of this you can be sure. Of this you can be sure, as is spelled out in the vision from Revelation, where it is written, "See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with us as our God. We will be God's people, and God will be with us. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things will have passed away. See, I am making all things new. These words are trustworthy and true. It is done. It has been accomplished in the cross of Christ. I am, God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And there will be no end. Let it be so. And let the people say, Amen."
Let us pray. We pray for your church and for all the baptized. Give us courage to proclaim the gospel through word and deed, striving for peace and justice in all the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for your creation, and we give you thanks for its beauty and abundance. Help us to be faithful stewards of the earth and all its inhabitants, and to protect it from overuse and abuse. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for our world and its leaders, that they might govern with compassion and mercy. Give them wisdom to make decisions that will serve the greater good, so that all might live in peace and harmony. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for Honora and Ava and Crystal Miller, who are attending the Youth Leadership Summit in Minneapolis this week. And we pray for their safe travel as they return home this evening. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are in need of your abiding presence. We lift up before you especially today Linnea Embleton, Arlene Fors, Alona Johnson, Keith Jurasevich, Mary Just, Helen Knebel, Joy Lathrop, and all who suffer in silence, in secret, or in shame. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Today, we dedicate this Paschal candle and light it on this All Saints Sunday as a reminder that the triune God is truly present with us through all times and in all circumstances. We proclaim our eternal God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We give thanks for the incarnation of our God who came to dwell among us in the flesh and blood of Jesus, down through the millennia, through the centuries, through the decades, and through the years. We remember the wounds of Christ on the cross, recalling his Passover from death to life. We give thanks and praise for Christ's victory over sin, death, and the powers of evil, and for the promise of our new life in him. When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his.
And so now on this All Saints Sunday, we remember those from our congregation who have died since last All Saints Day. Michael Roy Kennedy. Paul Yoder. Who always liked a good joke and found those stories so amusing that he would often have trouble telling, finishing the story. He was laughing so hard. Edwin Sullivan. James Albert Wildish. Greta A. Anderson. Doris L. Cullen. Carol Haggerty. Marjorie M. Tyndall. David L. Beckstein. Sally Bethel. Kathy Lee. Arnie Albertson. Edward M. Anderson. Sean Wagner. William Zink. Raymond G. Jensen. Dan W. Chamness. Ted G. Hicks. Susan Jennings. We pause for a moment of silence to remember all the beloved who now rest from their labors. Moved by their witness and supported by their fellowship, may we run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and with them receive the unfading crown of glory. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord. In the blessedness of your saints who have given us a glorious pledge of the hope of our calling, that moved by their witness and supported by their fellowship, we may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and with them receive the unfading crown of glory. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await Christ's coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. I invite you to come and receive the gift here. Before you do, or after you've received communion, you may stop at the baptismal font to light a candle in remembrance of one of the saints in your life, or several of the saints in your life who have gone before you, and you now want to wish to remember them on this All Saints Sunday. So as you come forward, just take a place at the altar rail, and we will come and serve you the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. If you have trouble navigating stairs, if you just come and sit in the front pew, we will come to you at the end. Come, for all is now ready. And now, surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making with us one with all of your saints. Send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Led on by the saints who have gone before us, let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.